Good lips, bad lips. Good lips, bad lips. I have been soaking in Proverbs, and I caught an interesting verse, caught my eye, and has turned into tonight's message. And we're going to bring several other Proverbs from 16 and 17 to bear on this thought of good lips, bad lips. First of all, we're going to look first at Proverbs 16, 21, if you will. That's going to be the diving board to get into this message, Proverbs 16, 21. Before I read the passage, God did something for this preacher and this church 25, almost 26 years ago now. This December, we'll be celebrating 26 years together, and it was during that time that I felt like the Holy Spirit made it very clear, we just need to get some positivity going. Just period, end of story. And so the Lord laid it on my heart to share a joke every Sunday morning. It got to the point 10 years in that I had a file folder, back when we still did file folders, that was just listed humor, and it was the biggest folder in the, whatever that thing's called, cabinet. And many of the church got to where they would research jokes and give them to me because I ran out of material quick. And so I'd read the jokes and the such. And I got to be known during that time as the preacher that told jokes, you know. And we would laugh, and then we would, you know, get serious about worshiping the Lord. And I never made the cognitive choice to stop. It just was something that as a church, we just matured past that, if you will. We didn't need that, but watch this. There ain't nothing wrong with laughing with one another. And God used it. We needed some sweetness. We needed some sweetness. And this verse is about that. Would you stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy word? We're going to read one proverb, and then we're going to dive in here. This is Proverbs chapter 16, verse 21. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. In Jesus' precious and holy name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. All through my life, I have had examples of people that were sweet and examples of people that were not. And hallelujah, praise the Lamb. I'm not thinking of any of you on the whole thing of not. But I have come across some people that they just didn't know how to communicate without first getting red in the face, or, you know, the whole thing of, that's just the way I am. You know, it's never blessed me. It's never blessed me when someone has chewed me out and then said, well, that's just the way I am, you know. And I promise you, because I can't speak for you, but when I want to mistreat someone, that's my go-to. Well, that's just the way I am. And the Holy Spirit uses the same line that I use on people on me. And that's why Jesus died, to change the way you are. Amen. Get sweet, Brother Ben. Do what you've got to do as sweet as you can. So where I was going with that is that I very seldom took, received, or benefited from the communication of the people that were not sweet. But the people that were sweet, I would walk away thinking, man, I want to do what that person wants me to do. I really do. Now, if we're not careful, we think, yeah, Brother Ben, but it's just hard to communicate that something that is difficult, to communicate it in a sweet way. And that's because we're lazy. We need to ask God for ways to communicate difficult things in a sweet manner. And we truly can. I remember sitting with Millie Barnes, and her husband was needing surgery. The doctor came in. And I can't imagine having to talk to loved ones about these subjects. But he sat down with her and said, Millie, I really don't have good news for you, but I want to share with you the news that I have. And he explained to her all the things that were wrong with Ray and what they had done to figure this out, and that this, in his medical opinion, this was completely exactly what needs to happen. He said, Millie, raised situation is just simply not compatible with life. And I remember her and I both looked at him. And I can't speak for Millie, but this was my thought. That's a really good way to put it. That's a really good way to put it. And she said, well, then, doctor, do what you got to do. Oh, okay, well, we're going to get Ray fixed. We're going to fix his heart. And he's gonna, and he did. He lived for several years after that. And she and I would talk about that. Do you remember that time when the doctor came in and said that Ray's situation was not compatible with life? That was about the sweetest way that somebody could come up with and do that. Do you think that he just came out of medical school saying that? No. He probably went through some really tough times with families, and he learned, and he dug, and he came up with a sweet way, if you will, to say something that's very difficult. I've shared with you guys the thing on the Department of Revenue in Southern Missouri that says your poor ability to prepare does not translate into an emergency on my part. Yes, yes, you're right. And I don't want to hear that, but you are so right. And so it's a sweet way to communicate the truth. Now, here's the interesting thing about this, and this is point number one. Point number one is simply, lips do not create good character. They reveal it. So good lips, bad lips, we want to have good lips. Lips do not create good character. They reveal it. So the key to good lips is a good heart. The wise in heart shall be called prudent. Well, what does a prudent person do? A prudent person prepares. A prudent person sees something coming up, and they see a difficulty coming up, so they prepare for that difficult situation. And then it says, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Now, in my humble opinion, what this verse is saying, let me say it the way I believe it is here. When you and I communicate out of a wise heart with sweet lips, we help the person that we're talking to learn. So you and I don't necessarily, you're not coming at this with, I'm trying to learn how to sweet lips. You've already done that. You've done your work already. And now you give the sweetness of the communication, and that helps their learning. I'm sorry, sir, you simply cannot go this way. But if you'll follow those signs there, you'll get to where you want to go. That's a sweet way to communicate. Quit trying to go down the lane that you're not supposed to go down. Do not enter, okay? So, A, under point number one, lips do not create good character. They reveal it. Positive and encouraging speech comes from a righteous heart. Now, I can't speak for you, but when I'm not right with God, I don't care what you think. But when I'm right with God, I really do deeply care what you think. And I want to communicate in a sweet, positive manner. B, sweet speech creates a desire and hunger to learn. Because again, when someone communicates to me effectively, that makes me want to communicate to others effectively. C, the ability to persuade can be learned. The ability to persuade can be learned. God used John MacArthur to teach me this. I don't know, many of you were here when we preached through the book of Matthew. It took us a long time because we took the verse-by-verse approach. John MacArthur has at least two, maybe three books on the book of Matthew. And he takes it verse by verse. And so I heavily relied on John MacArthur. And I can remember in those days in that study getting excited about God's word. I was learning from someone else the ability to persuade other people. If your tank is empty, if you're not learning from someone, if you're not sitting in chair number two, you're usually not going to have a lot of sweet stuff to give. And then when you're having to give out of an empty cup, it usually is negative. How many times at home you fall or she falls or he falls into a negative communication, and if the Spirit of God is allowed to be there, this is the next phrase. I'm sorry. I'm in a bad place right now. Let me work through this and I'll come. Let's come back to this. You see, that's a sweet way to communicate. This is on me. All this negativity, it's on me. I'm sorry. What you asked did not deserve that type of response. But you've got an empty cup at the time. So you need to time out, go to your corner, get with Jesus, have a come to Jesus moment, and come back. And put a smile on your face, hopefully laugh about that, and move on. Point number two, sweet lips is an acquired trait. Look at Proverbs 16, verse 23. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. So we're basically saying the same thing, but listen to these points under sweet lips is an acquired trait. A, exposure is the key. Church, I'm telling you, listening to men like John MacArthur, Adrian Rogers, David Jeremiah, listening to men like S.M. Lockridge, and I could keep naming Jerry Jolly, Larry Sykes, John Smith, has made me a better preacher. When you expose yourself to the great people on this planet, you will become a greater person. I promise you. You listen to Franklin Graham. You listen to these people that are knocking it out of the park. It will affect you. It will have an impact. Exposure is the key. But I can promise you something else. You keep listening to the world's music. You keep listening to the world's opinions, and you're not going to have a whole lot of sweet speech to give. You're just not. Exposure is the key. B, desire leads to discipline. Discipline leads to delight. I believe this goes back to James McDonald, but the two people that I heard say this first was Todd and Melissa Walters. I heard them say it, and I thought, oh my goodness, that's good. Desire leads to discipline. Discipline leads to delight. And when you're delighting in the Lord, He gives you the desires of your heart. And then it just becomes this wonderful circle. As you desire for the Lord, you discipline yourself to hear from the Lord, and then you delight in the Lord, and that just now, the circle continues. Point number three, sweet words permeate the whole person. Sweet words permeate the whole person. Now, I wonder if anybody will be honest with me and tell me, Brother Ben, I don't know what that word permeate means. Anybody? You raise your... Okay, all right. Thank you, Julie, and the others that raise... Now, Brother Gavin, you correct me if I'm wrong, but essentially, you can go to the maple syrup world, and Gavin has a membrane in his... osmosis machine that allows water molecules to permeate, but not sugar molecules. Okay? So permeate means to infuse or to diffuse into. So when you permeate something, you get into it. And so the osmosis machine allows the water molecules to permeate, and then it gets rid of the water, increasing the amount of sugar in the remaining water, and you don't have to boil it as long as a result. Okay? So you and I, in this situation, we're wanting sweet words to permeate. So if you will, we're going to act as a membrane that allows sweetness to permeate, but we reject negativity. Nope, not doing that. Not hearing that. Not listening to that. Nope. And it'll come to me. He's in heaven now. Charles Stanley was the first person that I ever heard preach that gave me permission to reject something. I didn't even know I could. And guys, if you want to give words to deities here, and obviously we're talking to the and about the deity, but Satan certainly is compared to us, if you will. We see him on that level, but we really shouldn't because the devil's not a deity. He's a created angel. The devil has severe limitations compared to God. And the devil is going to communicate negativity to you. God is going to communicate positivity to you. And you need to act as a membrane and reject the negative stuff and allow the sweet stuff to get in. And so Charles Stanley was the first person that said, and I heard him on the radio, I can remember me driving in the White Ghost, 1976 Pontiac Le Mans, driving home in Little Rock, and I heard Charles Stanley preaching about rejecting the rejection. When people reject you, you got to reject the rejection. And you just got to, hey, Jesus accepts me, that's enough. That's enough. Jesus and Jesus alone is my only source of significance and security. So sweet words permeate the whole person. Proverbs 16:24 goes with this point. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Sweet to the soul and health to the bones. And then it says this later in Proverbs 16. A merry heart doth good like a medicine. A merry heart doth good like a medicine. Point number four. Sweet lips are sometimes closed lips. Sometimes it's better to say nothing than something. Well, it just felt like I needed to say something. No, no. Reject that feeling. Keep your mouth shut. How many times in a conversation, at home type situation, maybe with your kids, one or the other, the husband or the wife, talking to the kid, and you hit on one of those topics, and the other swells up, and the one that's talking goes, uh-uh. Because they know you don't have anything positive to give. All you're going to do is spew negativity all over this poor child. Zip it. and move on with what you're trying to communicate. Now, each one of you in your own marital will have to work that out, okay? But we have given each other permission. We've done it to each other. When we swell up to say something, it's probably not going to be positive. And now, when we get into our private setting, then we can talk, Well, I was going to say, Well, okay, we can say that later, but I just was afraid. Sweet lips sometimes are closed lips. Here's the passages to go with this. And this is in Proverbs 17, starting with verse 22. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, I think this is 27, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Now, this goes with the little plaque that was on my mom's kitchen that says it's better to keep your mouth closed and be thought a fool than open your mouth and remove all doubt. That's a twist on that Proverbs. But the bottom line is if we want to be folks with sweet lips, sometimes they have to be closed lips. Now, we've talked about transitional phrases. Sometimes you have to give a transitional phrase when they say, well, wait a minute, I need some advice. Well, you know what? There's not an answer that's obvious to me right now, so I need to pray over this, study this, and come back to it. That's a transitional phrase to allow you to close your mouth, because probably what you're going to say may not be beneficial in this situation. Sometimes one of the most scariest phrases is, well, I'll tell you what I think about that. Stop. What does God think about it? What does the Word of God think about it? I'd rather hear that type thing. Point number five, bad lips exposes bad character. Because remember the name of the message, good lips, bad lips. Bad lips exposes bad character. And I'm just remembering, I don't believe I gave you the sermon in a sentence. If the eyes are the window to the soul, the mouth is the front door. Proverbs has encouragement and warnings of how to use the lips and how not to use the lips and how to ascertain someone else's character through the use of their own lips. So now we're finishing. We're almost done. Bad lips exposes bad character. So a bad character leads to deadly decisions. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You ever met that person? You can't tell them anything? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's bad character. B, bad character is exposed in the content of his speech. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. A fellow that has bad character, he just can't wait to tell you evil stuff. He can't wait to dig up evil stuff. That is his occupation, if you will. It's what he gives his life to. See, bad character does evil things with their lips. The Bible says a froward man soweth strife. You ever seen that fellow? We call them blank stirrers, and we don't say the word. You know, but they're, and we joke with Brad, but we all know that's Brad's stick, okay? He's being aggravating to be a blessing. It's a spiritual gift. That's right. I beg you not to pray for it, as Paul would say. But Brad has been given it in large doses. And I'm talking, maybe with the exception of Shelby, and not to call you out, Shelby, but you probably don't know what we're talking about yet, but just take my word for it. Give it time. My favorite thing about Brad now is when someone that doesn't know him, we're in a setting that I know Brad's fixing to be Brad, and I just watch him. Brandon, you were that person about 2 years ago when we got together for our fishing trip to talk about it, and you hadn't had a whole lot of exposure to Brad in this setting, and I just watched Brandon, and Brandon kept going to Brad's responses to stuff. Poor Dale got run through the ringer with Brad. I mean, Dale said something about knowing when the best time to go fishing is when the beans turn yellow, and Brad took that, and for the next 30 minutes, we talked about the moon phases and the equinox.
3 years now.
That's right. Poor Dale. And so it's fun to watch. So
I actually shared that. I was at a soybean.
He was at a soybean convention. All right. Now, I just wanted y'all to make sure I'm not shooting at Brad. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. But here's the person that it gets serious. And they're legitimately talking about stuff that if it gets out will hurt people. People could lose jobs, so on and so forth. Don't be around that person. Don't allow that to permeate, if you will. And I'm not saying you don't share the gospel with them. I'm not saying you don't love them. The Bible says love your enemies, but you have to control the exposure. Here's another proverb in 17. A whisperer separateth chief friends. This is someone that goes behind your back and tells your friend things that friend wasn't supposed to hear. And it may or may not be accurate or true. How about this one? A violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. So this is bad lips. This is bad character. And these people are doing extremely bad things. He shutteth his eyes to devise froward things. Moving his lips, he brings evil to pass. Now, guys, I'm just going to tell you, this is my humble opinion. I don't think you should make a doctrine out of it. But I believe we're talking about demonic warfare. I believe this is a guy that he's just sold out to evil. And when he says stuff, the demons listen, and they go make it happen. It's evil. It's powerful stuff. And now you might think, well, okay, Brother Ben, but how do we combat that? You pray. Guys, on a daily basis, I ask God to expose people. Expose them. Show the world what they're really about. Help us to know and understand the evil that is in their heart. Here's some more, if you will, admonitions about bad lips. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. A liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Now, as a Christian, your radar needs to go up. If you find yourself sitting there listening to someone saying stuff that you know you ought not be listening to, the scripture is warning you, do not do that. Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker. Don't get involved in that. Don't make fun of people that have less than you do. Brother Gavin, what you said about the lavish provision is honestly what launched Dawn and I months ago now into praying for our kids. You know why we're praying for our kids? And Tom mentioned it in one of the services, that the Bible says that God leads people to repentance through his blessing. Yeah. He has blessed this church. He has blessed our families. And as a result, he's blessed our kids. The lavish provision that God has poured out upon us should do nothing but bring, you know, more joy from us and service from us. He that is glad at calamities shall not be punished. Proverbs 17, 4 and 5. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. He that hath a froward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. Good lips, bad lips. This is very close to the whole energy giver, energy taker example, illustration. The energy giver is going to be saying things positive. They're going to be encouraging you. They're going to be uplifting you. They're going to be cheering you on. They're going to be living the example. They're going to be setting an example. That's the energy giver. The energy taker is going to be the person that's always expecting the bad thing. He's going to be the person that says, that'll never work. That'll never happen. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't try that. I don't know why you do that. Now, hear me. Some of us have to work with those people. Some of us live with those people. So love your enemies. Love your enemies. But surround yourself with energy givers. And when I look at the ministries of this church, that's what we're doing. Through CR, through Awana, through Sunday school, we're giving energy. 5:30 time, we're talking about positive stuff. We had an awesome study this evening. I know the ladies did too. I know the kiddos did too. God is trying to encourage us in the right way. Let's all stand up. Musicians, will you come? If you're here tonight and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is an invitation. We'll send you with someone gender appropriate. They'll share the gospel with you. Again, going back almost 26 years ago, we saw God take the positivity of jokes and encouragement, and he turned this church around. And all credit and glory goes to God. God can do the same thing in your situation. If you feel like you're surrounded by negativity, get positive. Start counting your blessings, not your bruises. God will bless you. Let's sing.